According to the New Testament, we are all ministers. Why is it then that not everybody is preaching? Hello and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on spiritual gifts for evangelism and witnessing. My name is Paul Dibdahl, and joining me today are Dr. Carl Cosart, Professor of Biblical Studies at Walla Walla University, and Dr. Alex Bryan, Senior Pastor at the Walla Walla University Church. And gentlemen, I'd like to welcome both of you and thank you in advance for our conversation today. In the previous couple of weeks, we've tried to clarify that the New Testament teaches that all those who are followers of Jesus are called as laborers, even as priests, as ministers of the gospel, to share the good news with those around them. But as we look around, it's pretty clear that not everybody is doing exactly the same thing. Alex, you are a pastor of a church. You preach more often than I do, and yet we're both ministers according to the New Testament. How is it that we are, in a sense, all the same as ministers, and yet we're all different as well? Obviously, we're all different too. Is there a Bible passage or a New Testament teaching which helps us to understand better what's happening here?
Well, a good place to go is the list of the gifts of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, one of the places it occurs in the New Testament. And there you find there's actually specific gifts. Individuals have specific gifts. And here we find out that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So here we find out that, well, in a sense, to answer your first question, why are we all not preaching? Well, in a sense, we all are preaching. But to use the word in the more, you know, church sense of being up in a pulpit before a congregation, mm-hmm. it's because the Spirit has given some people a specific category of function, you might say, within the church to hone or even use their gifts in a specialized way, we might say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think particularly 1 Corinthians 12, it opens up the exciting idea that we are parts of a body. Mm-hmm. In other words, each of us is not the whole body of Christ unto ourselves, but rather we are part of it, and so we have the exciting prospect of discovering what role we play, which is unique. And some of us are ears, and some are eyes, some are arms and feet. And so I think that this week we begin to unpack, well, what does it mean to be a minister uniquely, in my case, in your case? The metaphor there of the body really begins to open up the exciting reality of that discovery.
And that's what we discover in the New Testament, that the church was not just a chaotic place where, you know, kind of like fireworks, you know, you throw a match in a box and they just all go in different directions. You know, God is the God of order, and you find that his church is ordered, the body of Christ is ordered in a way that it can function at its highest capacity. And that takes place when individuals use the gifts they have, gifts of the Spirit, mm-hmm. in the way that is best for fitting the church to do its work of ministry in this world.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the difference, and maybe we don't need to get too technical here, but what about the difference between a spiritual gift and a talent?
Paul, most often I think that they are very close to the same thing. I think that God has given us gifts maybe that we're born with, that are talents. We use those words interchangeably, but I do think there are times when human beings are uniquely given something for a period of time or mm-hmm. for a particular reason that they may not even realize. Mm-hmm. Someone will say, I have never preached publicly in my mm-hmm. life before, but in that instance, I don't know what happened to me, yeah. but I was able to clearly communicate, and ever since then, I can't yeah. even get up front again. Yeah. And that would be more an episode where it was clear that something supernatural happened. Mm-hmm. But I think most often we recognize our talents and our skills, the things that are true to who we are, I tend to think that that's the same thing as a spiritual gift.
Well, I think I like to look at it this way, and I think you're right, but I don't think we are really the people who we're called to be until our lives are opened fully to Christ working within us. And so it's easy to see sometimes at a point of baptism, we might say, that it appears that these gifts are given because for the first time we're in tune with the Spirit. And the gifts he gave us at birth, all of a sudden now, in his service, come to light in ways that they perhaps never would if a person never mm-hmm. gave their heart and life to Christ.
Mm-hmm. And there's a sense that this distinction, you know, which again, we've already kind of blurred here, which I think is a good thing, between a talent mm. and a spiritual gift. If we think of it, God is the one who created us to begin with. So anything that we are, you know, to call it a natural talent mm. is really kind of missing the yes. fact that the one who created us is the one who gifted us in that way mm. to begin with.
Yes.
So maybe this the discussions, the differences might be helpful, but in general, I like the fact that you two have seemed to kind of blur the distinction, I guess, between, well, this is a talent as opposed to mm-hmm. a spiritual gift. Seventh-day Adventists believe in the perpetuity of the spiritual gifts. That is, that the spiritual gifts did not cease with the apostolic age but continue on to this day. And there are three places where we would most likely turn in the New Testament in this sort of discussion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. And I just wanted to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 a list of some of the gifts that are mentioned there. And it says, beginning in verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Okay, so that's a spiritual gift, the message of wisdom. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between gifts, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, as I read through this list, is this an exhaustive list? Is it a representative list? What would you say? Are all the spiritual gifts listed for us in the New Testament somewhere?
Well, I think the easiest answer is to say, keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and go back then to Romans chapter 12 and compare the list, and you'll find out, well, they're different. Now, there's some connections,
okay,
but the lists are not identical.
Okay.
So Paul is not trying to here to give us a list of every single possible gift. In fact, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those who are acquainted with the passage will note that he ends up with the gift of tongues at the end, and that's going to play into a challenge they're having in that church where there's an over-reliance on one gift and taking that gift and making it the pinnacle of the gift. And
okay.
Paul puts that at the end of the list to say, well, it's really not as important
yeah.
as others.
Yeah. Why is it that as I read through this list, there are some of these that I think, oh, yeah, okay, we can read about gift of hospitality yes. or gift of teaching or gifts of administration. Mm-hmm. Those I'm relatively comfortable with. But as I look back at the list I just read through in 1 Corinthians 12, there are some of these that make me somewhat uneasy. The gift of miraculous powers,
mm-hmm.
the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues, mm-hmm. gifts of healing. Are there some gifts listed that we almost avoid talking about, and why might that be the case? I just think of if someone were to come and say, "Oh, I have the gift of hospitality. I'd like to have people." I would say, "Oh, that's fantastic. You know, let's figure out how you can exercise that gift." If someone came to me and said, "I have the gift of prophecy," or "I have the gift of miraculous powers," I wouldn't quite know what to do with them.
Well, certainly in the first century church, they expected supernatural things to happen. I don't think that we can read the New Testament and not come to that conclusion. But I think your word, Paul, here, your question, sort of is a prophetic word for the current state of things where we maybe have become a mm-hmm. church that doesn't appreciate the supernatural. We, in fact, become quite nervous. Our palms start sweating when we think about someone coming to some of those conclusions. So maybe your question ought to push our thinking as the church to say, why is it that we have somehow become less sensitive to the supernatural, mm-hmm. less desirous of it than what was going on in the first century?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes those gifts, too, are rather self-evident. For me to say I have the gift of superpowers, well, I think that's really seen by others recognizing that gift and not me just proclaiming that I have this gift.
So if I have to announce to everyone, oh, by the way, I do have the gift of music, it may be an indication that
you don't have that gift.
That I may not have that gift. If I have to be informing others of of my giftedness.
Well, and I think this is a key point. The spiritual gifts are not things we announce. Mm-hmm. They're things that are recognized by the body. They're not something that we tout or brag about, but in fact are things that the community that we live in lets us know that we have.
Well, and I think, too, to go back to the Ephesians 4 passage, it says these are for the equipping of the church.
Yes.
Which means I really believe that every single church, for the work God has called it to do, has the right gifts within that congregation. We may not need superpowers in that congregation, but maybe we need generosity. And when every member uses their gifts, that church will do what God has called that church to do.
Yeah. So I think of my own experiences as a pastor. I think if we had tried, for example, to develop a big media ministry in the church where I was a pastor, I think we could have probably tried and tried and tried, and I don't know that we would have had much success. Our response could have been, oh no, you know, we're lost. We can't do the media ministry. But what you're saying, at least what I hear you saying, Carl, is that listen carefully to the way in which the Spirit is working in our midst. And if God needed us to be a media ministry church, he would equip us to do that. And if we don't have those gifts, we should use the gifts that God has given, because that's what must be needed in that community.
And I think this is why it's so dangerous that sometimes in our society today, we take a church where something's working very well and we say, look, everyone should be doing this because this church is having baptism responses. But it doesn't always work because every church doesn't have those same gifts, and that can lead to frustration, failure, and a sense of inadequacy in some congregations.
Yes. And the other thing, too, is that I think that as each church exercises the gifts that have been given to it by the Spirit, it will be a church that is effective mm-hmm. in witnessing and is effective in evangelism. Mm-hmm. And we can do that without, straining and striving in unnatural ways.
Yes.
Thank you, Carl and Alex, for your willingness to share with us today. I'd like to also thank Chad Ofterhaar, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. I hope that you'll join us again next week. I should also let you know that contact information, as well as free printed companion materials, are available online. Simply go to the Walla Walla University website and follow the links to the School of Theology and Good Word. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.